the comments Brother Chris challenged us with, and how true they were indeed. Amen, brethren. Exodus 29, and we'll pick up here with verse number 21. Exodus 29, verse 21. Still looking at this peace offering, this ram of consecration. Exodus 29, verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us, dear God, to just out of this verse, squeeze everything out of it, Lord, this morning that you'd have us get out of it. Lord, help us to open our mouths wide and look to thee to fill it. Fill them this morning, and instruct us and guide us and give us what we need. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, Exodus 29, verse 21. You know, and again, we had looked a couple of weeks ago about the bullock for a sin offering, then the ram for a burnt offering. Now tonight, this morning, we're going to look at the ram of consecration, this peace offering. And we looked at some of it last week. But brethren, there's so much in here that I feel like we got to take our time to do it full justice. We could go on through and cover a lot of it, but I'm afraid we'd be skimming through and not getting all that we need to get. So we're just going to be one verse for real this morning, verse 21. The Lord told Moses, "And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed in his garments, and his sons' garments with him." All right. So Moses, in obedience to the Lord, is getting ready to hallow Aaron and Aaron's garments, Aaron's sons and Aaron's sons' garments. Now, what he's going to hallow them with is the blood of this ram of consecration. Now, this ram is to be sacrificed. All right, and its blood was to be put on the altar. Now look at this. Look at verse 20. It says, then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood. And we looked at this last week. And put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. So now after Moses, it took Aaron and his sons, and it put the blood on the tip of the right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot, then he sprinkled the blood on the altar. Right, that's what it says. Verse 20, the latter part of verse 20 says, and sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Now, after that blood was sprinkled on the altar, look at this in verse 21, and thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar. So then they took the blood, the blood that was on the altar. All right, he sprinkled the blood upon the altar in verse 20. Then he took of the blood that is upon the altar. So the blood that was on the altar, Moses was to take and the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and his sons' garments. Alright. Now, let's look at this. The altar, brethren, was where the sacrifice was offered. You slit its throat, you bled it out, and then you put it on the altar for burning. The altar was for burning. One of the things that it is a picture of hell. One of the things it pictures is hell. That's where that thing was offered up. Alright? Brethren, Christ Jesus was offered on the cross. There, His blood poured out. When He gave up the ghost, His soul went down to hell for us. Take your Bible, go to Acts 2. I know that you know this, but let's look at it and see here. Acts 2. Acts 2. Brethren, it's funny. There was a brother telling me one time about an old statement of faith by some group somewhere, and part of the statement of faith that they had was the fact that their belief that Christ went to hell, and his soul went to hell, and he rose again. And brethren, that's Bible. It's true. But you know, a lot of times that comes as a surprise to folks to find out that Christ, that his soul did go to hell. See, a lot of times people will say, "Well, wait, hell means hell. That's Sheol. It means the grave, brethren." The Holy Ghost knows how, what words to put. And if the Holy Ghost had meant to say grave, he'd have said grave. But the Holy Ghost had put down there hell, not grave. So they want to say, well, Hades or Sheol and all like this, you know, and that hell means all the lower regions. They want to say that, well, no, hell, really, that should have been, the word should have been Sheol or the grave, or and so that Christ didn't go to hell, the burning part. He went over there, you know, to those souls that were in prison, the paradise. Hey, he went over there, but he went down to hell too. He went over to hell too. And brethren, you know that because your Bible says that he did. Alright? And brethren, if that's the case, if and this is true, if hell means the grave, then are you saying that David went to hell? David and Samuel then went to hell when they went down to the grave? No, brethren. They went over to paradise. Hell's hell. The grave's the grave. Alright? Paradise, Abraham's bosom was paradise, Abraham's bosom. All right, and brother, the Holy Ghost knows exactly the words that he wants to put forth. Brother, look here. Acts 2, in verse 25, says this: For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now what Peter just did was quote from Psalm. He's quoted the Word of God. All right, now he's going to elaborate on it. And he says in verse number 29, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Of Christ. That his soul, Christ's soul, was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And brethren, your Bible shows you plainly that Christ Jesus, his soul went down there to hell. And brethren, I should say, I mean, brethren, my goodness, where did I deserve to go? I deserve to go to hell. He took my place. He suffered, bled, and died on that cross, went to hell for me, and got up the third day. Hell couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. None of that could hold him. And he got up, had no right to him. Brethren, that's why, look here, brother. I go to hell. If you're saved, go to hell. You ain't going to go to hell. You done been there in Christ. But he took care of. You've done suffered, bled, died, gone to hell. You've done been raised. It's all done, brethren. God accounts, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God accounts you as having, God accounts all that having been done to you in Christ. All right, you're complete in Him. All right? Now, take your Bible. Go back to Exodus 29. So, Brother Austin, well, I don't understand. I mean, he went to hell for us. I mean, brethren, all I know is what that book says. And you say, well, did he suffer? Did he? Well, I tell you what, I know they're in Exodus. I know they're in Isaiah 53. The Bible says in Acts 2 that his soul was not left in hell. His soul went to hell. Now, that's plain. Now, I know in Isaiah 53, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Thou shalt, listen, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, thou shalt see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I'll tell you this, brethren, all I know is he went there and he didn't hold him and he got out. He got out. And he's the only one that got out. He's the only one that got out. I don't buy that stuff. They say, well, Jonah went to hell and got out. I don't buy that. My Bible don't teach me Jonah went to hell. Brother Dolph's Bible says, Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Yeah. He was in a type of hell. Christ went to real hell. Jonah was in a type. Out of the belly of hell cried out. Well, whose belly was he in? A whale's belly. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah was a whale's belly. Jesus Christ is the heart of the earth. Jesus Christ, the only one my Bible ever shows me, went down to hell and got out. Because it couldn't hold him. Had no right to him and couldn't hold him, and he got out. Praise God. And that's why I have hope today. And that's why you have hope. And that's why hell will have to hold no fear for you. Christ has untasted all that for you and for me. Praise the Lord. Look at Exodus 29.
And verse 21 again. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar. Brethren, this blood is off the altar. Okay? It's off the altar. And it's off the altar where Aaron and his sons will serve. What do you mean by that? Well, brethren, they served at the altar. Aaron and his sons, the high priest and his sons, the priest, they served about the things of the altar. That's where, brethren, you would come and you would kill the sacrifice, and then the priest would take it and arrange it and do the things and put it on that altar and then take ashes away and such as that. They served there with that altar. And the blood that was put on that altar, the blood from upon that altar was then sprinkled upon them. Take your Bible, go to Numbers 18. There's a point I'm getting at. Numbers 18. Numbers 18. Numbers 18 and verse 7. Numbers 18 and verse 7, the Bible says this, "Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar." Did you get that? Everything of the altar. "And within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh thou shall be put to death." Notice it says, "That thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar." And it was there, the priest's office was given them as a service of gift. They served, brethren, about the things of the altar. The altar was a place of service for them. Alright? Now, I said all that to say this. And they were sprinkled with blood from off that. See, Moses put the blood on that altar, and then they took blood from upon the altar and sprinkled Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments. Listen, our service should be in the gospel of the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's what our service should be in. Our service should be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not social issues, not in Christ's teachings, but His death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel. Don't you forget that. That's what our service... Brethren, they served about that altar. That's where they would go and arrange those pieces and offer it up and such. They served about the things of the altar. And that's where the sacrifice was offered. That's where that blood was sprinkled there. And the blood that was sprinkled on that altar there during this consecration service was taken from that altar, upon that altar, and sprinkled on Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments. The blood from that altar. Brethren, the blood that was upon the altar. You and I, brethren, should serve in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me, brethren? Do you get that? Brethren, that's our calling to service in the gospel. Not social issues. Not social issues. Not, and I want to tell you something, brother. The other day, I cut the radio on a minute. And listen, I caught the end. I've heard him say it more than once. And I'll tell you something, brethren. I called it on to catch something. I turned it on to catch something here, there a minute. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to get yourself in trouble if you spend enough time listening to men like Bill O'Reilly and this, that, and the other. Yeah. And you're kidding yourself if you think they believe what you believe. That's a lost, hell-bound man. Hey, he's conservative. Well, I know conservative means Christian, don't it? Let me tell you something what he said, brethren. Listen, he said, I heard him say it one other time. He said, listen, that he does not believe the Bible literally. He doesn't believe the Bible literally. Listen, he believes that what is important is that Christ's teachings. He looks at Christ as like a philosopher. Right? He does not believe the Bible like you believe the Bible. He does not take the Bible literal. He does not believe the Bible like you believe the Bible. His idea is that the teachings of Christ save. The teachings of Christ will put you in hell.
Right.
Right. Brother Doss! You can't say that. Oh yes, D, you go ahead. Follow Christ's teachings. You'll go to hell in a minute. Well, don't I hear you preach, you try to live what? Right. Right. I try to do that because I'm saved. And so I can have a peaceful life and live pleasing to Him. It's His blood that saves, not His teachings.
Right.
It's the sacrificial payment that He made for me and you, His death, burial, and resurrection, I shed in His blood, that paid the price. That did it, not His teachings. In fact, brethren, His teachings were nothing more than what the law had already said. He was getting... Listen, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ, before He became that sacrifice, was lifting up the law to let folks see what they were.
What had happened was the Pharisees in tradition had changed the law and added to it and made it a burdensome thing. Hey, brethren, the law is burdensome enough as it is. And I'm not cutting down the law. The law is perfect and holy and good. I'm corrupt. I'm the problem. All right? But when they added stuff to that thing, they tried to justify themselves by the law. Christ got them back to what the law said. But also in so doing, by lifting up the law, it served to help men to see, if they were honest, what they were. And then he went and paid that price. He paid the price that we deserved. But I'll tell you something, brother. Men like Bill O'Reilly and stuff, they think his teachings. Go ahead, man. Follow his teachings. Go ahead. And you'll go to hell in a skinny minute. Man, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said he thought a good guide for life could be found in the Golden Rule and in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Hey, you know, the Sermon on the Mount will really benefit you if you're saved. But if you try to get to heaven by it, you'll go to hell. You can't do it. It's not His teachings that save. It's Christ Himself that saves, brethren. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Our brother, it's so easy to, you know, social issues, man, and, you know, and social issues and the teaching of Christ and, you know, and love your neighbor. Hey, don't get me wrong, brethren. Y'all know how I feel about that. As Christians, well, I believe in preaching that stuff. I believe you ought to set the standard. I believe you ought to live right because you belong to God. See, you ought to live right because you are saved. You ought to live right because you do belong to God. You ought to live right because you do these things because the Lord said to do. I believe all that. But not as a basis of salvation. Not as a basis of salvation. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. How, Paul? What would He serve you with your spirit in? In the gospel of His Son. Without ceasing, I may mention you always in my prayers. Look what Paul said. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. Brethren, you and I will serve in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, brethren, what you do for God should be done with the idea of getting the gospel to someone. It ought to be done with the idea of getting the gospel to someone. Brethren, I believe in being nice as you can and being as good as you can to folks. But brethren, in back of that, all the lie, get them the gospel. In other words, brethren, y'all do people good. Y'all do them right. Y'all do them right. And just be right because you're saved and you're a new creature and all that. But I tell you, in back of your mind, ought to be always looking for the opportunity. Looking for the opportunity. When's that door going to open up? When's that little crack going to pry open there? When's my opportunity? Y'all be looking, brethren. Y'all be looking. Y'all be looking for that chance to get the gospel in there. So, all you'll need a chance, just tell them about it. Brethren, there's time to speak. There's time to keep silence. Or you need to know. Brethren, but you ought to be looking. You ought to be looking. You ought to be looking for the opportunity, for that chance to get a word in and to say something or to give them a... Just do what you can. Serve in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, brethren. We ought to be having the gospel of Christ in our heart and in our mind. Doing what we do unto the Lord so that folks will see our life and see a difference and want to know what the difference is and we can tell them of the gospel. Paul said he served. Paul said God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. Brethren, that blood that they were sprinkled with that consecrated them, that blood was upon the altar, and that altar was where they served, and that altar was a place of sacrifice. I believe it also is a picture of hell. Alright? And brethren, Christ suffered, bled, and died, went to hell for us, got up the third day. Brethren, the gospel is what He did for us. Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And brethren, we need to serve in that. That ought to lie back of what we do. Getting the gospel to men. Brethren, what good is it if you enrich a man's life and he goes to hell? And brethren, I believe in doing right by people. Hey, brethren, I believe in trying to help them out and feed them and clothe them. I do. I believe in all that. And I believe back of it all lies the opportunity to get the gospel to them. I believe being good people, brethren. I believe it's right. My goodness, I believe salvation will make a difference in your life, and you ought to go out and try to help people and do right by them and do good by them. But brethren, get the gospel to them. When that opportunity presents itself, my goodness, yes. Man, give us clothe them, feed them, visit them, love them, be good to them. But brethren, always with opportunity to give them the gospel. What good in the world, brethren, is it going to do to prove the lot of this whole world and then they die and go to hell? What in the world good is that?
Brethren, the man's way better off. If you can help him out, that's one thing. But the most important thing is that when he leaves this life, he knows God and heaven's his home. My goodness, brethren. Look here, go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. And brethren, I'm for doing for people. My goodness, I believe you ought to. I'm for good works. But see what all the life, the purpose of those good works ought to help lead men to Christ. Get the gospel to them. You see, good works and such like that, you know what it does? It gives weight to the gospel. There's some weight behind it. It's not just empty words. See, that's the problem. Because there hadn't been works behind it, today it's just often empty words, empty words. Good works lends weight to the gospel. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There it is, man. He didn't come to try to teach people to be better, and he didn't come to try to elevate them to the next level of consciousness. He didn't come to try to, you know, be the next. He wasn't one of the next stage of Messiah. He was the only Messiah. He wasn't the next in the state in the line of New Age philosophers that come on the scene. Brethren, he's the Son of God who suffered and bled and died, rose again for our sins, and he came. Lewis says, "Oh, it's so wonderful! He came to save sinners." You know what you do? You use the Word of God. You use the law lawfully. Help men to see that they are sinners. Like those tracks you've done to plow with. Help men to see they are sinners. Then give them the solution in Christ Jesus. Help them to see what they are. Then give them the answer in Christ. He came to save sinners. So a man's got to know he's a sinner. Once he knows he's a sinner, tell him about Christ. Again, brethren, I mean, many are hearing about Christ today. Christ doesn't do them no good if they don't know what they are. They do them any good. Brethren, you can have the medicine, for, you can have the cure for a man's ailment, but he's not going to take it unless he knows he's sick. They need to know what they are. And such things as that. I mean, Bunyan's got those tracks for us. He's making a track right back yonder to help men see what they are. To help them see what they are. Then they'll receive the gospel. I mean, I say they'll receive it. They'll understand the gospel then. Then what they do with it, all right. But at least the heart's been opened up and the seed can be dropped in. Take your Bible and go back just a minute to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. I want you to notice something here. Exodus 29, I want you to look at verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron. Oh, did you get that now? Now notice he didn't say, thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and sprinkle it upon Aaron. And it doesn't say, and thou shalt take of the anointing oil and sprinkle it. It says both. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it upon Aaron. So evidently it was a mixture. You don't see a separate sprinkling. You take the blood that was on the altar and the anointing oil and sprinkle it. To me, it looks like a blood and oil mix. I'll tell you this. Water and oil don't mix, do they? And they especially don't mix for salvation. And you know what's going on? Too many people have a water and oil mix, brethren. They got a water and oil mix, and they don't mix. They've got, brethren, what they've got is, instead of a blood and oil mix, brethren, instead of the blood of Jesus Christ washing them, they're trusting water to save. They got a water and oil mix, and brethren, they don't mix, especially for salvation. You need a blood and oil mix. The blood being the blood of Jesus Christ, and that oil being the Spirit of God, but that's what you need. Water and oil, see, water and oil don't mix. I want to tell you something. If you're trusting baptism, the Holy Ghost won't bear witness to that. He won't bear witness to a salvation that is grounded upon my baptism. He won't give you assurance and bear witness of salvation on that. And he won't give you assurance based on my good works. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid for your sins and your trust in what he did on your behalf. That's what works. Take your Bible a minute, brethren, and go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter 1 verse 2.
The Bible says this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I find something real interesting there in that wording. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Obedience. Obedience. Take your Bible, go to Acts 5. Let me show you something here. Acts 5. Acts 5, and don't you look with me, please, verse number 32. Acts 5, verse 32 says this. Peter's talking there before that council, and he says, in verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Wow. Whom God hath given to them that obey him. You know who God gives the Holy Ghost to? Those that obey him. Remember, all that thing sounds like works. No. Do you realize the gospel is to be obeyed? The Bible terms it belief, but it also terms it obey. You know, you get the Holy Ghost when you get saved. That's when you get the Holy Ghost. If any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You get the Holy Ghost when you got saved. You know who Peter said God gives the Holy Ghost to? Them that obey him. Them that obey him. Take your Bible, go to Romans 6. I want to show you something. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. Or it's verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Brethren, did you know the gospel is to be obeyed? I don't understand, Brother Doss. I thought I was supposed to believe it. Right. But it's a command to believe. You believe it to be saved. You repent. Repent and believe the gospel. You're commanded to do that in order to be saved. And you know what you did when you got saved? If you got saved, you obeyed that. You obeyed. You didn't just flop around and just kind of say, well, I think I'll... No, the Holy Ghost got a hold of you and you obeyed. God said, repent of your sins, trust my Son as your Savior. You obeyed and got saved. There's obedience involved. Oh, brethren, look here. Our Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's obedience to that. I mean, man, the Bible says repentance toward God. You either repent toward God, or you either obey that or you disobey that. He said, no, God, I'm not turning to you. I'm going my own way. That's rebellion. And you believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. That was buried, then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You either obey that, you either believe the command to believe that, or you say, no, I don't think so. I don't think he was God. I think he was just a man. I don't think, you know. Brother, it's given us to obey, to be obedient unto it. And you know what? When a person does that, God gives them the Holy Ghost. They get born again. Now, it's interesting, brother, how that word obedience is used in more than one place. In more than one place. Brethren, first, there's Holy Ghost conviction. Then there's obedience in believing the gospel. All right? Brethren, I don't know about you, but the Holy Ghost did not come to me and say, Jonathan, come on. Come on. Won't you accept Christ? I really want you to. No, sir, buddy. It was an awesome holiness of young man. You're a sinner. And you either repent of your sin and turn to God, or you're done.
Right.
Listen, there's an almighty God that made you, and He's your Creator, and He loved you enough to do this for you, and He's been good to you, and He's given you a chance. Now, you better make your choice. I mean, I'm serious, brother.
It wasn't no like, come on. Come on. Really? Oh, please. You know, to where I could exalt myself to like, well, let's me and you bargain and we'll say, my goodness, friend, this is blasphemous to even think about. No, sir. No. He arrested my attention and said, young man, you better get serious about some things. You better wake up and listen. But I'm going to tell you something. When Paul dealt with people, he was in line with the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus said the Holy Ghost would come there of righteousness, judgment. Sin, righteous judgment. When you see what Paul was there, man, he's right in their line with the Holy Ghost when he's dealing with, I believe it was Agrippa. He of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Brethren, what we do for the Lord ought to be right in line with the Spirit of God. Brethren, I believe in having compassion. I believe in this, that, and the other. But brethren, I believe in that. But brethren, I don't believe in getting down and groveling and getting somebody thinking they're doing God a favor to get saved. Alright? Let's misrepresent God. We are representatives, are we not? Does the Bible not say we're ambassadors? What if we had an ambassador that misrepresented the United States? What if an ambassador for this country went and groveled to another country and you got like, what are you doing? You made us look weak. What are you doing? Well, I just kind of, I thought that it'd be good to kind of... You're done. Get over here. Right. Don't misrepresent our God of the gospel. I believe in compassion. Don't you get me wrong. One minute. Don't you mistake me. I believe in compassion. But listen, again, don't you present it that somebody's really going to do God a favor, if they get saved. Brethren, God is eternal. He goes on, heaven goes on, and the gospel goes on. He's being merciful and gracious to us to give us an opportunity. Alright? Holy Ghost conviction, then obedience and believing the gospel with the result of washing in the blood and the reception of the Holy Ghost. Go back to Exodus 29. Go back to Exodus 29 just a moment. Exodus 29. And look what it says in verse 21. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and of the anointing oil. So they took of the blood that was upon the altar and the anointing oil and sprinkled upon Aaron and upon his garments. And upon the garments of his son, and upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons with him. Wow. Man. Those priest garments were really, really nice to look at. We've seen pictures of them. They were white, and they had colors, And man... Now Moses took blood, animal blood, and oil, sprinkled it on those things. What in the world? That just don't look right. That just don't look right. You know something, brethren? You'll find out a lot of times the world tries to, Satan will try to counterfeit what God does truth. A lot of times they try to do things with blood, this and the other, but in the wrong ways. So, brethren, what we're contending with a lot of times is counterfeits. And not just counterfeits, but we're also contending with something that the world looks at as being just crude and vulgar and, they call it a slaughterhouse religion and just, brethren, if you don't have a bloody religion, you don't have the right religion.
Right.
Blood of Christ. It's not His teachings. It's the sacrifice He made on our behalf that saves. They took that blood and that oil and sprinkled it upon. Notice who they're sprinkled upon. This is interesting. The Bible, your text, the text of your Bible says that that blood and that oil was sprinkled upon Aaron himself and his garments. You notice that singled them out. Singled them out. It said upon Aaron and his garments. Upon his sons and his sons' garments. Kind of singled it all out. In fact, and it says, and he shall be hallowed. He shall be hallowed and his garments. And his sons' garments with it. So that blood and that oil hallowed Aaron himself and Aaron's garments. Hallowed his sons and his sons' garments. The word hallowed means consecrated to a sacred use or to religious exercises, treated as sacred. Aaron the man is hallowed, consecrated now to God. Aaron's garments are hallowed, consecrated to God. What are you saying, Brother Dawes? Saying this. Aaron himself was to be consecrated, and Aaron's garments. Aaron's sons were to be consecrated, Aaron's sons' garments. Brethren, we need to be right in fact, and we need to be right in appearance.
We need to be right in fact. We need to be right in appearance. They were singled out. Aaron, the man, was consecrated. Aaron's garments were consecrated. His sons themselves were consecrated. Their garments were consecrated. Take your Bible. Go to Matthew 23. We need to be right, brethren. We need to be right in fact and in truth, and we need to be right in appearance. In other words, we don't really be hypocritical. We need to be right factually. We need to be right in the appearance of things, brethren. We don't need to have the appearance of wrong. Alright, Matthew 23. And brother, understand this. I know that sometimes things will come up. And brethren, it's okay if you are in the will of God and you're in a situation that may seem... It's okay if you know you're in the will of God. But brethren, you better make sure you are in that will. The Lord had Elijah go and stay there with that widow woman. Now, he was in the will of God. Brethren, I wouldn't recommend that doing on a habitual basis. Alright? But if you're in the will of God and you know it, that's one thing. But you better make sure you are. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which was within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Brethren, you need to be clean. In other words, brethren, you yourself need to know that you're saved and you need to be consecrated to God. You're set in truth, in fact. You need to be dedicated, given to God, sold out to the Lord. That should be the desire of your heart, to serve and please God in the gospel of His Son. To live pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what about me? Come on, listen, when God wants you to have a little bit of you, He'll let you know. I'm serious. When God feels like you need time for you, He'll give you peace about it. Brethren, a lot of times, brethren, we take what we want. We don't take what God gives us so often, we take what we want. But so often, brethren, my life, I'm tempted to take not what God gives me, but to take what I want concerning time. I believe God will give you time. I honestly believe that. I believe He'll give you time. God knows that you have fleshly desires that are not wrong, that He's given you. Marriage and kids and things, there's certain things. And I believe God will give you time. And I believe it'll be peaceable, it'll be right, and it'll just be... Rather so often, I take that which God hasn't given them. And brother, I don't know about you, but I know with me, I can know if I'm honest with myself. Because I'm trying just about every way under the sun, man. And it ain't got the same peace to it as it does when I know God has just given the go-ahead and the green light. And said, son, go ahead and do... Amen, brother. It's just so much better to be that way. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. So we need to be honest, brother. We need to be consecrated and hallowed in fact and in appearance. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it has the appearance of evil, abstain from it. Abstain from it. Brethren, and this is for... It's for our life, brethren. It's for us. Look here. Look here. You know, God's ways and His working with us sometimes are beyond our comprehension at times. And granted, we need to be careful. Like Peter, you know, said, Lord, what shall this man do? Lord, so what if I... Well, I'll be the chariot till I come, you know. What's that to thee? Go and serve, you know, you serve me. And you know, they did just what... That's amazing. They did just what we do. You know, John's not going to die. We never said that, but they just did that. You know, we're trying to show Peter to take... But brethren, look here. You and I need to abstain. Not just from evil, brethren, but the appearance of evil. I'm telling you, if God's guiding you into something, there we go. If God's directing you in something, I just feel like He'll look after you in those endeavors. You got to understand, you're going to be falsely accused. Look, you know what they say about John the Baptist? Oh, he has the devil. Jesus comes, you know, eating and drinking. Oh, a glutton and a wine bibber. People are going to say often what they're... Brethren, look here. Walking in the will of God is one thing. But brethren, so often there are situations and things that can be avoided to give the appearance of evil that don't have to be done. So brethren, we need to be right ourselves. Look, Aaron was consecrated and his garments. His sons were consecrated and his garments. But even the appearance of evil, we need to think about. Oh, there it goes. Man, what? It seems so constricting. So no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. Brethren, come on. Listen, we have eternity awaiting us. We have eternal reward if we'll serve the Lord like we ought to. There are men's souls at stake. Do we really want to be listening to the lives of the devil as he sounds so comforting, as he sounds so pleasant and says, poor, poor thing, and you know, you don't even hardly have a life anymore. And it's just so... Do we want to listen to those lies? And have him cost us eternal reward? Have him cost us the influence? Have it cost us the influence we can have for somebody's life for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, but you mean... I've got to be, you know, Paul, but it also feels like I've got to always be thinking of, that's right. We do have to be thinking. Remember the Apostle Paul said? Paul says that he made himself servant unto all that he might gain the more. Paul made himself servant to all. He had liberty. Man, nobody knew more about Christian liberty than the Apostle Paul. Man, what does he get? He knew about Christian liberty, man. What did he tell them in Galatians? Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. But, when it would serve the purpose of the gospel, Paul would deny himself for the gospel's sake. You didn't see him going around saying, but what about me? No, to him it was what about Christ? What about the cause of Christ? And brethren, such should it be with you and I. Listen, brethren. We all have family, friends, and loved ones, and this, that, and the other. But we want to see come to know the Lord. And I'm sure you've witnessed to them and you've talked to them. But you know what they're really looking at? They're looking at you. They're watching you. And you know what they're doing? They're looking at? Is it a phase or is it true? Bobby's saying that, Austin. Bobby's saying that because I can list off to you. And you could to me too, probably. The people you know who started off strong. You know what I think about sometimes? I think about a fella I know, and some of you here know the fella. He never was a member of this church, but some of you here know him. And he used to have a burden for his family so hard and so... And I mean, he had a burden for his family. His dad's a hard man. He's now gone, evidently, 180 degrees out on things. And I cannot help but think, what has got to be going through his mom and dad's mind? What has got to be going through their mind? You know, what's, you know what that does? He said, well, but all it does is destroy his influence for him. No, you know what I believe that does? I believe it destroys influences for a lot of Christians then. Because you know what they're liable to think? Phase.
Right.
You know, my son was like you. You know, somebody comes to the guy, you know, working in the neighborhood, you know, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I want to tell you about the Lord. You know, my son was like you. In fact, man, he was really fired up. He was really, you know, but, you know, he's... Just a phase, just going through. Brother. People look at you. People look at me. They're watching. Souls are at stake. Brethren, we're not our own. Don't you forget that. We're not our own. God knows what you and I need. He knows what time you need to yourself. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. I mean, He told the apostles one time to pull yourselves apart, come rest a while. He knows what you need. But it's often we take more than what we need. We take what we want. Brethren, He bought us with His blood. Now, let me look here. If somebody gave their life blood for you, that's a pretty high price. Christ paid for you with His blood. He bought you. But brethren, He did not buy me to live for Jonathan Doss. He bought me to live for Him. My Bible says I'm not my own anymore. Brethren, Christ didn't die on that cross just to be a fire escape. I'm thank God. I ain't going to worry about hell. Thank God for that. But brethren, He came to reconcile us to God by dying for our sins. He came to save sinners. But to save us unto Himself, to reconcile us to God, that we'd serve Him, and He left us here for... Why did He leave us here? You ever thought about that? Surely, yeah. Why did He leave us here? When you got saved, why didn't He just take you home to heaven? And you might be thinking, I wish He had. I often wish He had done that myself. But He didn't, did He? He saved you. You know, we believe, scripturally, we believe eternal security. We believe we're secure. And He left us here. Why? Well, evidently, to serve Him, to reach others, to have an opportunity for reward. There's a reason here. Let me tell you something. He left you here for a profitable reason, not an unprofitable reason. That's for sure. Do you know, if it wasn't best for you eternally, He wouldn't have left you here. You got an option. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with what are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the time Christ has left you here with? Brother, now I believe most of us, who wants to throw money away? I believe you all just want to do that. Brother, do you want to sacrifice eternal gain that God wants you to have for now, for the present? My goodness, brother. Don't let the time continue to tick on by and just live for yourself. You're bought with a price. You belong to the Lord. And people are watching you. And living for God means that sometimes, brethren, sometimes, all the time you've got to wonder, look, okay, how is this affecting? How is this affecting somebody? How is this, you know? And the devil's going to come up and put his arm around you and say, boy, your life's so miserable, isn't it? And boy, you got to always be on guard. And you got to always, you know what you need to do? You need to plant your feet and say, you're a liar. Jesus said, you're a liar. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me. That's what Jesus told him. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou defense unto me. Sometimes you plant your feet and say, devil, Jesus said, you're a liar and you're lying to me. You don't care about me. You don't care about me in eternity. You're not concerned about me. My Savior does. Yeah, it may cramp my life a little bit now, but it's for the cause of Christ. I'll be infinitely the gainer for it. Others. And God's will for your life. In closing, I want to say this. All this consecration ceremony, all this served to hallow Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. My brother Dawes, other Christians, who cares? You don't worry about that. Yeah, but if they can't... Well, no. You don't worry about you and God. Don't you see the air the devil's going to try to get you in with that thing? The devil even wants you to take and look at others and say, they can, I can. Or else he wants you to take, alright, and go and say, well, I deny myself. Why aren't they, boy? See, they ain't right with God. They're not right with God. Don't you see? The thing of it is, really, you say, well, that's whatever. I ain't going that route. My God's grace ain't going that route. And I'm not going to go this route and look on them and get... I'm not going to go and go against what I feel I can know is right. I'm not going to go this route and go and... God, just help me keep my eyes on you as I'm supposed to do. Really, Brad. Really. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. See, the battle ain't over. Let me say, the battle ain't over when you get something right. It ain't. The devil now says, okay, let's get some pride in there. Let's get some, spiritual pride in there. Let me go work on the attitude. That's why the Bible says it's warfare. That's why the Bible says be vigilant. Because it's, you say, man, it just seems like it's always something. No kidding. No kidding. You are in a spiritual warfare. And let me ask you, do you really recognize it? Do you accept it? Or do you think that that's just preaching and just words, and that spiritual warfare means just, well, every now and then, don't you realize it is every day of your life that Christ calls you home? The Bible does not say in vain to armor up and to put on the different pieces of the armor of God and to be vigilant and to be diligent. But that's to encourage us and to go forward and to fight and realize we have real battles against principalities and powers. You can make headway if you know who your battle's with. 1 Peter 2, I'm just about done. Verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, knows us pretty good. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also. See, you know what Christ was? He was a living stone. He was disallowed of men. They rejected Him. But He was chosen of God and He was precious. Ye also. How about that? You know, when you're saved, you also are a living stone. Do you know that? You also are rejected by this world if you're really saved and they really know what you are. Are you in? You will be rejected by this world if you're saved and if the world really knows what you are. Brethren, if you don't realize it, if you are saved and this world really knows what you are, they hate your guts. But you know what? It ain't you against them. They're lost. They don't know it. They just need to be saved. Your enemies are the principalities and powers. All right. And you know what? You're chosen of God if you're saved, and you're precious to the Lord. Verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You're a holy, brethren, you are part of a priesthood. You really are. You need to believe that. You need to accept that. You need to honor that. That's not just words. That's not just rhetoric. That's true. You got saved. You are a priest for God now. What do the priests do? They offer up sacrifice. What are your sacrifices? You don't offer up carnal sacrifices now. You don't go and slay it. You offer spiritual sacrifices. We've gone over some of that. Giving of thanks, to communicate, to do good. Those are spiritual sacrifices. Hey, present your body a living sacrifice, to deny self. Alright? And that priest, he was consecrated and hallowed to God. He himself and his garments. Brethren, you know what? You need to be right. Like I just said, you need to be right in fact. Don't be a hypocrite. Be sincere. Be right in fact, but be right in appearance. Alright? If the Holy Ghost of God nudges you and says, thank Him for the nudging. Thank Him for it. And be obedient. When He does that, be aware that your adversary is going to come in then and try to work on your attitude and make you prideful. Alright? Recognize it. Plant your feet. Say, get thee behind me, Satan. Doubt offense unto me. Jesus said, you're a liar. I see what you're trying to do. But if the Holy Ghost uses somebody to nudge you, if the Holy Ghost works through somebody's life, Look at you. Search your heart. If it's true, if it's right, get the thing right with God. You'll be so much the better for it. And understand as a given that every one of us in this room has a flesh that just does not want to live for God, wants to live for itself. Just wants to live for itself. Right? Just wants to do what it wants to do. Man, bring that stuff in subjection. Yield to God. Realize that other people are watching you. And that you say, well, okay, I've ruined my influence. No, you might be ruining even somebody else's influence in their life. You might be causing it to be such that it's going to be hard for anybody to have influence. They'll just lump everybody's hypocrites. Yeah, I know. My son or my friend was like that. You know, he got caught up in that thing too, but he's back the way it was, you know. Oh, the damage done. Do right. I was talking to someone this week. You know what he told me? He'd been right with God. I knew him when he was right with God. And I mean right. What a blessing. I was talking to him. He'd cry. He'd weep. He'd, you know. I said, brother. I said, man, your kids need to be in church. Your kids need to be in church. Well, he knew. He said, brother, you know, he was sincere. You know what he said? He goes, I know. He said, but you know, I also know that, man, if I go to church or thing, just my kids or thing, my heart still ain't really right for the Lord. I said, brother, that's exactly right. But your kids will still benefit. I said, you going to tell me it's wrong to have them? He saw it. He said, that's right. See, he was like, he'd heard so much preaching, man. He'd heard so much. I'll tell you something, brother. Sometimes there's too much listening to preaching, not enough living for God, walking with Him yourself. In the past, he's like, well, you know, if my heart's not right for the Lord, you know, if I'm just bringing my family, my heart's like, oh, yeah, you get your heart right. But I'm going to tell you, your family will be benefited. Those kids need to be around hearing something about the things of God. And you know what he did? Praise God. You know what? Glory to God, he saw it. He said, you know what? You're right. And man, we had a good visit. Praise the Lord. You don't see him today, do you? Now, you know, I know that something could have come up, and I know I understand, but brethren, I also know enough to know. Brethren, I'm still going to pray for him. But brethren, you know what? When I was helping Mike Rodriguez when we was doing this carpet, Brother Mike got on this side, and I got on this side, and Ben got in the middle or something like that, you know, and we was unrolling this thing, and Brother Mike said, all right, let's get it, let's go, right? So we were, we had a rhythm going, right? And it was, and something happened and we kind of broke our rhythm. And boy, it was hard to get it going again. After that inertia stops, it takes a little more effort to get it going again. We did, but if we could have just kept kind of rolling along with it. You need to roll along, brother. Read your Bible. Pray. Come to church. Serve God. Do right. You can get going again, but it's harder. And sometimes people don't. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be faithful as believer priests. Lord, help us to be right, not just in fact, but in appearance. Lord, if anyone here today or anyone listening to this tape, Father, has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, deal with them. Help them see their need and draw them to the Savior, I pray. Father, we ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Amen, brother.